All right, Acts chapter 16, look if you would at verse 11. It says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, expecting to hear from you, Lord, that the folks, they came out today on this beautiful day, Lord, when they could have stayed in. Lord, they came to church this morning, Lord, to worship you and to hear the message that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we will always seek to hear from you, Lord, not just on Sundays, but every day. Lord, as we stay in prayer, as we stay in our Bibles and we read, Lord, I just pray you'll continue to speak with us, Lord, and give us confidence and give us, Lord, even though the world seems to be going crazy and may even get worse, Lord, we know that things have to get worse before they get better. And Lord, we know that one of these days we won't have to put up with a lot of things we put up with now, Lord, when we're with you. And so, Lord, help us to stay focused on those things, on your promises. And Lord, help us when you show us something, Lord, from the word this morning. Lord, if there be any wickedness in us, Lord, any sin, unconfessed sin, Lord, help us to take care of that this morning. Lord, we know that you can do a great work in anybody's heart. And Lord, I pray this morning there's somebody who's not saved here this morning. Maybe they've just been pretending this entire time, Lord. We don't know, but you know. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll give them great conviction, Lord, to show them the promises that are given to the sons of God. And Lord, and what it takes to be a son of God, and that is calling upon you and receiving you as our Savior. So I just pray this morning, Lord, you'll speak to all the hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, to give you some background here, you see Paul and Silas, they're traveling around a lot. And to kind of show you here how they ended up in Philippi, the Holy Spirit had made it very clear to Paul that he was to cross over into Europe, which if you think about it, it was probably one of the most significant crossings in the history of the world. You know, it was pretty significant when Hannibal crossed over the Alps to conquer Italy. And certainly it was significant when Caesar crossed over the Rubicon. But when you think about Paul crossing over into Europe, that was so significant because when he went into Europe, he brought the gospel with him and he preached to people in Europe. And it was the crossing that made it possible for me and you to be here today as saved people, because most of us had our, you know, if you look back at our genealogies, we go back to Europe, okay? And so the gospel was preached there, and then we, you know, people came into the United States. So when I look around this morning, you're talking about the significance and the blessings of Paul taking that gospel into Europe. I'm looking at those blessings, you know, when I see you sitting here. And we understand that it wasn't anything that Paul did, but what God did through Paul. Okay, and so it was a very significant thing. Now, according to Scripture, to get to Europe, Paul and Silas had gone throughout the region of Galatia and were come to Mysia. And after they had been forbidden to preach the gospel in Asia by the Holy Spirit, Paul and Silas wanted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not to go there. And so they came to Troas, where Paul had a vision of a man saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after seeing that vision, Paul knew that the Holy Spirit of God had called him into Macedonia, and so Paul and Silas left Troas, and by way of Neapolis, they arrived in Philippi. And there they began the ministry in Europe. Now, Philippi was a colony where many retired soldiers were living from the Roman army, and one of the nicknames of Philippi was Little Rome, because they had tried to be just like Rome in all of their dealings. And we're told that the Apostle Paul came there and he went there to a riverside where there were some ladies there having a prayer meeting. And evidently there was not a synagogue there, but they were praying on the Sabbath. So they were there praying. And so this little group of ladies had gathered around there in this prayer meeting. Quite a significant thing if you think about it, just a few people gathered. You know, Zechariah 4:10 says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" So like the song says, little is much when God is in it. You have this small group of ladies there praying there. And so they were the religion of Judaism, and they were praying there by this river. And these ladies were gathered there. And from that time, Paul and Silas, from the time that they arrived into Philippi till the time that they leave Philippi at the end of the chapter, you'll see that they run into three different people who are in three different situations, who each person has a different heart in the way that they're, the way they approach life and the way they approach God. Each person has a different heart. And so Paul and Silas, they could only witness to these people the same way you and I could only witness to people. I mean, that's all we can do. And by the way, that's all we're responsible for doing when it comes to the great commission that the Lord has given us. We're not responsible if a person gets saved or not. If he gets saved, you can't take any of the credit. And if he doesn't get saved, you can take none of the blame. Why? Your only job is to tell him the gospel. Amen? Now, the only way you can mess it up is not tell him the gospel. And so Paul here, all he could do is witness these people. And so he comes to the one person and their heart is a certain way. He comes to another person, his heart is a certain way. He comes to another person, his heart is a certain way. And what does he do? He just witnesses to each of the three. And that's really what we're going to run across when we go out and we witness to people, is that you're going to see that people come from all different walks of life. They're all in different circumstances. They all have different hearts. You know, sometimes we think that if they're lost and all their hearts are just hard and they're wicked and their heart's wicked, we understand that the heart is wicked and we understand who can know the heart. We understand that. But everybody's heart is not the same. There are people out there. How many of you know that there are people out there that could just care less about Christianity, could care less about God, don't want to even be talked to about it. They want nothing to do with it. You come knock on the door like, get out of here, quit preaching to me. Amen. But then you have other people that say, you know, I try to live a life right because I'd really like to go to heaven. But they haven't been told the gospel how to get there. Amen? So you can't say that their hearts are the same. They're different. You say, well, then how do we approach them? The same way. You give them the gospel. Amen? Because it's God who gives the increase. It's God who's going to change a person's heart. Even when it comes to Christians. Listen, I could preach up here until I'm blue in the face. And I could show you what the Bible has to say of how we should live godly lives and how we should be holy. I could do that. But if you've got a hard heart this morning, I can't fix that. But the Lord can. And he does it through his word. That's the reason we know what a preacher is supposed to do. Just preach the word. When I first got into ministry, the words I heard more than anything else other than be instant in season, out of season. I heard that a whole lot. But another thing I heard was this. Just preach the word, brother. I remember one time there was a preacher's conference and we had a bunch of preachers there and I got up and I was nervous. My first sermon lasted 3 minutes and 25 seconds, folks. And I was done and I studied for like 3 weeks for that thing. But I remember one time a preacher's conference there was probably about 30 preachers sitting out there and I got up and I was nervous and I was reading like this. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra and behold a certain disciple. And all of a sudden this old preacher, he's sitting right there. He stands up and he goes, Brother Crowder, are you supposed to be preaching to us? I said, yes, sir. I mean, right in the middle of the preaching, he says this. I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, then preach the word, brother. And I did. I loosened up that tie and I let her rip. Amen. You know, and that was all the things that the Lord just training me. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. When it comes to witnessing people, just go out and witness to them. The Lord will take care of their hearts. And as a preacher, you know what I'm supposed to do? Just preach the word to you. And the Lord will take care of your hearts if you're willing to let him do it. You see, the Lord can change anybody's heart. Anybody's heart. And so Paul and Silas, all they could do is witness to these people. But it was Jesus who would work in their hearts so that they could be saved. And so from these verses, we see that Jesus can do a work in anybody's heart, no matter who it is or what the circumstances are. We see three testimonies here that shows us just what Jesus can do to any heart. And so when we see Paul go by the riverside here, we learn, first of all, that what Jesus can do when it comes to a tender heart. And that tender heart belonged to a lady by the name of Lydia. Look if you would at verse 14. It says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Now she worshiped God. She's a Judaizer, but she worshiped God. You remember when you read over in Acts chapter 10, you read about the centurion and how he offered up prayers and those prayers were heard by God, but he was lost. Well, you kind of have the same idea here. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. And we see here that Lydia, she had a tender heart. Lydia was a person who was looking for the truth. She was a person there that was worshiping God, but she hadn't been told the gospel that Paul had. She hadn't been told these things. Now, we're also told her that about her that she was a seller of purple, which means she was probably a very successful business lady because she sold the purple. She came from Thyatira, which was the purple dye, where the purple dye was made, and they used it for the dyeing of royal garments. Purple was a sign of royalty, and purple garments were very expensive. So Lydia was probably a very successful career lady, evidently very prosperous. Maybe she moved among the elite of the society there in Philippi. Maybe she was in some of the social circles there in the town where she was. And when she went to places, maybe she was the best dressed lady there. We don't know. But one thing is for certain, she needed Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we have the idea that the rich upper class doesn't need Jesus Christ. But the truth is that doctors need Jesus Christ. Celebrities need Jesus Christ. I know sometimes when we see celebrities and we think about the rich and we're thinking, man, the Lord's going to get you one of these days. That's the way we think. But no, wait a second. They need Jesus Christ the same as the poor person needs Jesus Christ. All of us need Jesus Christ. And so everybody needs to hear the gospel. And Lydia here had a tender heart. She wanted to do the right thing. She desired the truth. She was praying to God. She was worshiping God. But it says here, it says about Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, Paul, he opened the word, but he didn't open her heart. And I have the word of God before you open this morning, but I can't open your heart. If there's something in your heart this morning that's stirring, and inside of you there's a hunger and a longing and a desire for something that you don't have this morning, it is God who's opening up your heart, not me. It's God who's opening your heart this morning for the good news of the gospel if you've never been saved. It's not me. Listen, folks, all I can do is just tell you what the Bible says. And it's up to you if you'll open, if you'll soften your heart for the Lord, if you'll have a tender heart before the Lord so he can open your heart and show you the truth. The Lord opened Lydia's heart, and the Bible says she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Deep down in her spirit, there was something saying to her, what Paul is preaching is true. She had a tender heart, and because of that, she had an open heart. And she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then in verse 15, we're told that she got baptized. Now, listen, baptism does not save you, but baptism is the outward testimony of the inward experience of being saved. When you get baptized, what you're showing is exactly not only what happened to Jesus Christ when he was died and was buried and rose again the third day, but it's showing what happened to you when you were buried into his death. That's what baptism, what water baptism is showing. And so it's a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. I'm just going to tell you, it's the first order of obedience. It's an ordinance of the church. It's if you look at a pattern in the New Testament, every time you see somebody who got saved, you know what he did right after that? Got baptized. You go over to the Ethiopian eunuch, got baptized. You go over to the centurion in Acts 10, got baptized. I mean, over and over and over. You see that. It's a pattern. And it shows that what Jesus Christ did for us in baptism. So I just want to encourage you today, if you've never been baptized, and you say, well, maybe I was sprinkled as a child. Sorry, that doesn't count. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you got the sprinkle, it doesn't count. You need to go all the way under that water. And believe me, nobody can dunk you better than I can. I remember one time back here about, oh, not the last baptism, but the one before that. I think I was baptizing one of the Ford girls, and I slapped her down there pretty hard. And I mean, I made a wave. I mean, the people that were standing right there, I went down so fast that this wave come right there, and it just wiped them out. I mean, I got her under. But I know what? You know what? She got baptized. She obeyed the Lord in baptism. So I want to encourage you, if you need to be baptized, let's get you baptized. But Lydia here, she opened her heart to the things of the Lord. And maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning who has a tender heart. And maybe you felt some things in your heart this morning. And maybe there's been a tenderness in your heart that you've not experienced yet. And may I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you unto himself. And may you listen, you may have never been saved. If that's the case, he's calling you this morning. Or maybe you are saved and the Lord is convicting your heart of some sin that you haven't confessed. If your heart is tender this morning to that still small voice, you'll have God's answer this morning. If you'll just obey it, the Lord will open up your heart to the truth. And if you've got a tender heart, folks, and you hear his words, you're going to do something about it. Have a tender heart this morning. So the first testimony we see here is a testimony of what Jesus Christ can do for a tender heart. The second testimony that we see here is a testimony of what Jesus can do with a tormented heart. Look, if you would, at verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Now, you could not get two people that are more different than Lydia, the first person that he runs into, and this damsel here, who has who was possessed with a spirit of divination. I mean, there was Lydia, a person who had a tender heart, was at a ladies' prayer meeting, while here we see a slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination. Now, that goes to show you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all of society today. It's for people, whatever circumstances that they may be in. That's what I like about the gospel. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your condition is. Jesus Christ can save anyone. Here was this girl. She was possessed with a devil, a spirit of divination, and she was able to, you know, sometimes you see people that downtown where they read palms and, you know, they have a crystal ball. It was more of something like that. And I can't imagine what the torment this girl was going through, but people were exploiting the fact that she had a spirit of divination for gain. And so for several days, this young girl followed the Apostle Paul and was shouting out some things. And it got to the point where the Apostle Paul became somewhat irritated about it. And so Paul spoke the words to that poor minute girl, and the devils came out of her. Now, as you can imagine, the second the devils came out of her, she no longer has a spirit of divination, and therefore she's not able to be exploited anymore by the people who were looking for gain. So those people that were looking for gain now gets pretty upset about it, because after all, it had cost them some money, it cost them some profits. And so, you know, that shows that Jesus could take the torment away if you'll just turn that situation, those circumstances over to him today. Maybe you're tormented in some way today by something that's going on in your life. And maybe you just don't have that spirit, that calm spirit that you should have as a Christian. May I tell you, the Lord can work in your heart. And he can calm that tormented heart, folks. He can get rid of whatever it is in your life that's giving you troubles. But you just got to trust him to do it. But here we see that Paul, when he did this for this girl, when he cast out the devil out of this girl, it created a problem. This slave girl here, whose soul was no longer tormented, she had some people who had owned her who were making big money because of the fortune telling that she was able to do. And their heart was, it was interested not in the welfare of the girl, but their interest was in a financial gain for themselves. And you know, that's the way it always is. That's the way it always is. When people start getting saved and revival starts to hit a place, the money crowd is inevitably going to get mad about it, because it's always going to affect the things of the devil. When people get right, the works of the devil are affected, and they don't like it. When people start getting saved, the adult entertainment businesses will start to suffer. When people start to get saved, the alcohol industry will start to suffer. When people start getting saved, the casinos will start to suffer. And people who run those industries won't take kindly to that, the same way they didn't back in the days of Paul. Listen, those businesses, folks, that sell alcohol and pornography and these casinos that you see, they have no interest in what's good, right, or moral. They have no interest in those things in any town. They don't care about boys and girls. They don't care whose lives get ruined or who loses the money they had to feed their families. You know what they care about? The almighty buck. That's what they care about. But may I tell you this, that if revival comes, it'll have an effect on them. The Lord Jesus Christ will have an effect on them. And after this girl had the devil cast out of her, there was a little mini riot that happened in the city. You know, one thing about Paul, everywhere he went, that crowd was, there was either a revival or there was a riot. But something always happened every time he preached the gospel. And that brings us to the third testimony. First of all, we saw Lydia, who had the tender heart, and the Lord did a work in her life. We see the young lady who had the tormented heart, the spirit of divination. The Lord did a work in her heart. The devil was cast out. But then in this same town, the same town that they had traveled through by way of Neapolis, this town of Philippi. We see a third testimony, and we see the testimony of a tough heart. You know the story. It's one of the most familiar stories in all the Bible. The rioting crowd were out there chanting and grabbed Paul and Silas, and the Bible says that they started tearing the clothing off of them. And in verse 23, in Acts 16:23, it says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they beat Paul and they beat Silas. After they laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now keep this in mind. They started beating these people because they just led Lydia to the Lord. And they started beating these people because they cast the spirit of divination out of this young child who had been exploited because of the devil that's in her. And so these people riot about that. And you say, "Boy, I can't believe it. That's the way people are." They riot about it. They start beating them and tearing their clothes off because of this. And then they put them in jail. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." They were beaten for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you some folks, we need to pray for people all around the world today that are facing persecution because they're Christians. Sometimes we get in our own little safe comfort area and we think that all Christianity is the same way it is as right here in the United States. It's not. Most in many, many places all around the world today, you would be thrown in jail the same as Paul and Silas if you were a Christian, living a Christian life outside telling people about Jesus Christ. You know, I really don't think it's a... I'm honored to have known the guy, but I don't look at it as an honor of what happened to him. But I actually knew a pastor when I first got into ministry who was jailed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was jailed for about 6 months. And finally they released him. And I talked to him. And I told him, I was like, "How did you get through it?" He goes, "You know, remember that in the Bible says pray without ceasing?" I said, "Yeah, I know that." He goes, "Brother, you get thrown in jail and that's what you'll do." Amen. I'll tell you this, sometimes the Lord allows things to happen that'll just make us draw close to Him. Amen. I'm going to tell you some folks, not all of Christianity is the way you see it right here in the United States. We have missionaries. Just recently, we heard from a missionary who preaches in a country that if they found out he was a Christian, he'd either be thrown in jail or be deported. Him and his family. There are places around the world today that if you're found being a Christian and you're found witnessing to other people, they will put you to death. That's what you had here. All he did is preach the gospel. He preached the gospel. One got saved, one had a devil cast out of him, and they throw him in jail. And so they're beaten for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he took Paul and Silas over to the jail, and they turned over to a jailer. And believe me, when you saw a jailer, a Roman jailer, you're talking about a tough bird. Those guys were tough. It ain't like, listen, their prisons aren't like the prisons that are here. Them Roman prisons were tough. I mean, you throw an iron, it's just damp, and there's no daylight, there's very little light at all. And they put them in stocks, both their feet and their hands. It's tough. They didn't have carpet. They didn't have a direct TV. They didn't have those things. And so you have this jailer here, he's tough. And even in fact, it says there in verse 24, it says, "Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." He didn't just lead them in there and say, "Now get behind here so I can shut the door." No, he grabbed them and threw them in there. Tough fella. And it says here, he put them in the inner prison. The inner prison in those days was kind of sort of a maximum security type of thing that they had going on. And think about it. Paul and Silas were beaten and put there for serving the Lord and preaching the gospel. But again, this jailer, he was a tough customer. Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. And it says in verse 25, and it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, the Bible said that they were praying. That wouldn't have surprised me at all. I mean, that's what I'd be doing. If I was being thrown in jail, I'd be praying and praying and praying and praying. Lots of people pray to God when they first get thrown in jail or when they're facing fearful circumstances. It is true that there are no atheists in foxholes. When things start getting tough, everybody cries out. When someone faces imminent danger, the first thing they think about is praying unto God. He'll call out to the Lord whether he's saved or not. And it doesn't matter if he calls himself an atheist. So it's not surprising that Paul and Silas were praying while they were in jail, but the Bible says that they were praying and singing. They were singing. Now, you know, Christian life is not always a bed of roses. And don't assume just because you're going through sorrow and heartache and difficult times, it just means that you're not being blessed by the Lord. You could go through tough times and still be being blessed by the Lord. And just because you're going through tough times in your life doesn't mean you're getting chastened of the Lord. Not necessarily. You know whether or not you're getting chastened or not. Sometimes God leads His children through fiery trials. Sometimes God leads His children through deep, dark waters. But He's always there with you. And He's always got a reason for it. And that reason is always for His glory and for your betterment. Always. And it doesn't matter what you go through. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, people that are getting sick and people that are facing medical things and are saying, boy, how could this possibly be good? We don't understand it all here. There's no way we can look at the tough situations and say, man, it's just so bad. I mean, praise God. We don't think that way. Now think about this. Paul and Silas here, all they were doing is preaching the gospel. They went out and they preached to Lydia. She gets saved. He casts out the devil out of the woman with the spirit of divination. And what do they get for their troubles? They get their clothes torn off. They get beaten. And then they get thrown in this jail. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be doing a lot of praying, but I can't tell you I'd be singing. But Paul and Silas sang. You know why? Because they knew that the Lord had a reason for them to be in that jail. Now, they didn't know what it was at the time. But they were looking at it as, wow, we get to be thrown in jail? I wonder who the Lord's got in here that we could tell about the gospel to. I wonder what kind of great work God is going to do right here in this jail. And they knew that He was going to do a great work. That's the reason they were singing. They were happy. They were saying, listen, I get to glorify God by being in this jail. I get to be used of God by being in this jail. And yes, my back has got stripes all over it. And yes, they tore some of the meat off my back by whipping me. And I'm laying here in this jail. And look, there goes a rat running around. And it's dark and it's damp. Praise God. And they start singing, you know, Amazing Grace. I can just imagine them doing that. How many of you would do that this morning? How many of you, if you get a call from a doctor and say you've got something that's terminal, that you could start to sing and say, praise God for it. God's going to use this. God's going to use me to do a work in somebody's life. God's going to use me to reach somebody else. I don't think any of us would do that. But if you had total faith in the Lord, and you really believe that everything he does for His glory and to help you out as His child. And everything He does is for your betterment as His child. You would sing when things are good and you would sing when things are bad. You want a real test of what your faith is really about? Ask yourself if you can do what they did. Sometimes we think we're real spiritual. We think, boy, I tell you what, I'm spiritual. I can handle anything come my way. Uh-huh. You think you could handle it like they did? Those are two men right there that understood that they understood the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And they were singing in that jail. Now, when you hear about them singing in that jail, you think it caught me by surprise. When I read there, it's like, man, they're praying. But man, they were singing? Hey, it caught that jailer by surprise too. Don't you know that jailer had probably, listen, Paul and Silas may not have been the first Christians ever thrown in that jail. Have you ever thought about that? And you know, don't you know that jailer had probably seen other people thrown in that jail before? And he might have heard even atheists crying out to God, oh God, why am I here? Why am I here? And he might have heard people praying and saying, Lord, help me out of here. But you know what that jailer had not heard before? People singing. And when he hears the singing, he's like, what in the world is going on? Why in the world are they singing? And so the jailer here, he hears this, and he sees that their faith is real. And may I tell you this morning that when people see how you react to circumstances in life, they're going to see whether or not your faith is real or not. When things start to go bad and you whine and complain like the rest of the world does without any hope, that's not a good testimony, folks. But when they see you When you're facing a tough circumstances and they see you have that smile of confidence on your face, they're going to say, man, that guy's got something that I want. When you react with confidence in the Lord when things don't go right, they'll see the God that you serve is real. Now look at verse 26. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, not just Paul and Silas' bands were loosed, but everybody in that prison had their bands loose. How'd you like to have been in that prison right there at that time? Everybody's free. Everybody can run around. Now, the jailers in those days were instructed if for any reason, if they lost a prisoner, they were going to be put to death. If they lost even one prisoner. So this tough jailer sees the jail cells open. He knows it's all over for him. He reaches and he gets his sword. And the Bible says in verse 27, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I mean, he looks everybody's loose. He's thinking, okay, at least one's gotten out. I may as well go ahead and take care of it now because they're going to kill me when they come in here. Look what happens. Look at verse 28. It says, but Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Not one single prisoner had left that jail. Not one single prisoner had escaped after being loosed. You're talking about a miracle? You know, we look at the miracles in the Bible, like the feeding of the 5,000, and we look at the miracles of turning water into wine. Think about this miracle for a second. They're in a Roman jail, and everybody just got loose. The gates come open. All they got to do is walk out. And not a single person leaves. Not a single person. So when he sees this, verse 29 says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he asked the most important question that any human being will ever ask. He asked in verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? God has a way of taking a tough heart and making it tender. Here's a tough heart of a man who had been broken by God. Here's a man who needs Jesus. And Paul tells this jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And may I tell you, that's the same gospel that will save a man today. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And on that day, a tough heart was saved right there in that jail. Now, if you're not saved this morning, you may portray yourself as being real tough. You may want others to know just how tough you are because you can handle anything this life has to throw at you. But when your hour of death comes, folks, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be so tough then. You won't be so tough. When you one day stand before for God Almighty, before His throne, you won't be so tough. And I remind you this morning that even though you may be pretty tough today, nobody in this room is too tough for God. Nobody is. He knows who you really are. He knows you're a guilty sinner. He knows that you need a Savior. The same way that He knew this jailer needed a Savior. This tough Roman guard, God knew he needed to be saved. God knew it. And so He put Paul and Silas there because He knew that jailer would be saved. He knew it. He could see the future. So there you have it. Three testimonies of what Jesus Christ can do in the hearts of people. Now, turn your wood over to Galatians chapter 3. We'll close. Because in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about salvation. It talks about how the gospel is for everyone. In Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That Roman jailer says to us, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Slave girl says what it says next. It says, there is neither bond nor free. Slave girl says there is neither bond nor free. And then Lydia says to us, there is neither male nor female. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Jesus Christ can save you. And Christian, I'm just going to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what has happened in your life that has made your heart hard. If it's become hard, maybe you've got a tough heart this morning. Maybe you've got a tormented heart this morning. Maybe you're going through something that's really bad or you're facing something really bad and you're worried about something. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning, it doesn't matter what type of heart that you have this morning, the Lord can do a work in your life and He can change your heart. He can change it. If you're not saved here this morning, He can change you. He can make you a new creature. It doesn't matter. The Lord is in the heart business. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I have seen people's heart totally changed. I've seen people who were lost. They got saved and their heart was totally different. I don't know about you, but I remember, I think about Brother Billy all the time. You talking about somebody that was different? Huge difference between Billy before he got saved and after he got saved. The Lord changed his heart. I've seen Christians who they had gotten out of church and their heart had become hard and they had become tough. And all of a sudden, they came back to church and they heard a couple messages and the Lord softened that heart that quick. And they got right with God. People say, yes, you don't understand what I've been through. No, but I know the Lord. And I know this, I know the Lord went through a lot of things too. And He's God and He can fix anybody's heart. So I'm going to ask you this morning, listen, I can't change it. I can tell you that right now. I pray before I ever preach to you folks, I pray, Lord, soften their hearts and give them a believing spirit to where they will believe every word that that Bible says and trust in You. Honestly, I pray that every single day before I preach. But at the end of the day, I can't change your heart. I can't. I would love to. I wished I could make the decisions for you, but I can't. But the Lord can. But you've got to invite Him in. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to be saved this morning. If you are saved and your heart's become hard, if you know, maybe there's jealousy that's come in or bitterness come in, all you do is say, Lord, my heart is bitter. Fix it, Lord. Fix it. And you know what I've learned? He'll do a great work in you. But you've got to ask Him to do it. Will you do that this morning? Let's stand.